safe journey here, and there's just so many things that that could be said, and I pray I'd say something to be encouragement to someone along the way. I'm glad that we still serve a God that's in the delivering business, and He's still able to meet our every need, and I'm thankful that we have one that we can rely upon when we face our trials and our tests, and the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And Psalms 91 said He would be with us in trouble and deliver us. He didn't say we wouldn't have any trouble, but He'd be with us in our troubles, and that makes all the difference. And thank God for the God that we serve. And if you'd like to turn with me to Psalms, I believe 124, I'd like to read a verse of Scripture. Starting with verse number 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, and I think that you and I can say that too. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And I thank God that the Lord's been good to us, and that He helps us to find the deliverance that we need. And I'd wanted to talk to you a little bit about birds. It might sound a little strange, but just not too long ago, a good brother in the church, Brother Bob Morris, had everyone come out to his house and had something for the kids, and kind of a fun day for the kids. And they fished in the pond and went around and looked at some of the farm animals. And Brother Bob had a great big old turkey. And that turkey was the oddest thing. It was big, but he didn't like that turkey. Felt intimidated, I guess, when we walk up to the fence. And boy, he would stick his chest out, and he'd make a noise like he was kind of, I don't know how quite to explain it, kind of like, hum. He'd make a noise. I don't know if you've ever been around turkeys or not. I haven't been around too much, but you could tell he didn't like us being there, and he would just shake all over like he was kind of upset with us. And the weirdest thing would happen. They call it their beard, and it would turn a different color when he got upset. He would turn a different color. And you know, I got to thinking, that turkey's not a whole lot different than some of us sometimes. If we're not careful, our face can change color. We get angry, and sometimes we might shake. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be like that turkey, intimidated by people and puffed up and proud. And I don't want to be that way. And Brother Bob told me about another bird that he had out there, and he calls it a chuck. And now it's not really called a chuck. Actually, it's a duck. But they got a bunch of chicks from the feed store, and along with the chicks, they got this duck. And so they raised this duck with the chickens, and the chicken is confused. The duck is confused. It thinks that it's a chicken. And they've got ducks there, and they keep putting the duck back out in the pond with the other ducks, and it won't stay there. It comes back to the chicken pen, and it tries to even to breed the chicken. And so Brother Bob calls it a chuck. And there's an old saying that says, birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, it does make a difference who you hang around with, and who your friends are, and how we live our life, and there's a fellow that I work with from time to time, and I'm not saying that God hasn't done anything in his life, but I noticed something about him. There's old habits that hang on to him, and he says that he likes to preach the gospel. But I notice sometimes that a lot of bad words come out of his mouth. And you know, the book of James said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he said, this man's religion is vain. And you know, I've often thought about that, and I don't really think that it necessarily means that you're going to the wrong church. But one thing for sure, if it's not got down into our heart the way that, to the measure that it's affected our life, that we can control the tongue. And you know, the Bible says no man can control the tongue. It takes a spirit to do that, doesn't it? Yeah. The Bible says it's an unruly evil, and it sure takes the Lord to help us. But there's a saying that if it walks like a duck, and it talks like a duck, and it looks like a duck, it must be a duck. And so I want somebody to see something different in my life. You know, the Lord's been doing a work. I had something that I needed to mention to you. My mother has been going through something. She had a pinched nerve, and for a few weeks, well, it's been bothering her for a few years, actually, but for a couple of weeks, she just laid around. She couldn't hardly do anything. She's 76 years old, or she's 78. And last year she had her heart valve replaced, open heart surgery. She came through it real good, no blockage or anything, but this was really getting her down. And my brother, for about 17 years now, he's been hooked on alcohol. And I just wanted to say something to the young folks. You know, my brother is the last person in the world I thought would ever be hooked on alcohol. And when he went through a divorce, and he started drinking. He used to be a picture of health. He used to be able to exercise, and he rode a bike all the way from Indiana to Arkansas one time. He used to ride from Illinois state line to all the way across the Indiana to Ohio line, 160-some miles, in a day's time, in a matter of hours, be able to do that. Picture of health. And for about 17 years, he's been drinking hard liquor, and it's absolutely ruined his life. And he about took my mom down with him, because it's hard on the mother. And I think that's probably part of mom's nerve problem, could be that. But the other day, he went to a rehab center to dry out, started having chest pains, and the doctor said that his heart's affected, his pancreas is affected, and his liver is affected. And he came back to the services a few weeks ago, and God's been merciful to him. And my mother wanted to be sure and have the saints to pray for him. He's gone quite a few days now without a cigarette and without a drink, and seems to be determined. And every day he looks stronger, and the Lord has been good to him. And I thank God, amen, for what he's doing in my brother's life. I always felt that I owed something to my brother. When I was a young man, I was like Brother Marvin. I looked up to my brothers, and I thought, boy, it sure looks like a good life. My brother had friends, and I told before, they all kind of lived in a cabin. They did what they wanted to, and I thought, boy, that must be the life. And I was wanting to get right out there and do my own thing. And then I stop, and I look back at that group of young men, and one of them's dead, I know. And I know one of them's an alcoholic. I know one of them He's lost his driver's license, I think, for life. Pulls a little wagon around through the neighborhood. Lives with his mom. She's about half afraid of him. And it's a terrible thing, amen, that people can fall into. And I was at work the other day, and I want to tell you about another bird. Talking about birds. We're working on a new hospital, and way up high in the atrium on top of the scaffold there, they had the glass windows in, but they also had some plastic up over them. And this bird somehow got in behind that plastic, and all day long it was back and forth on that window ledge, wanting to get out. Same old thing, back and forth. And I thought about, they tell you at the AA meetings, they say, definition of insanity, you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I thought, that poor bird, man, he can see outside, and he wants to be free. And I thought about my brother. Hallelujah. I'm glad, amen, that there is an escape tonight. Man, I'm glad that we have a Savior, amen, that will help us. Amen, when we can't find that deliverance, amen, there is one that will deliver us. Hallelujah. Amen, and we can escape the snares and the things that we get ourselves into. And I made a mistake the other morning. And I didn't tell my wife or anybody about it. And I felt like the Lord was merciful to me. They're putting in a new highway down by our house. And the sign says road closed. But they've been working on it for a couple of years. And about all the people that live out there, we go on through there. And I hadn't gone through there for several days. But, you know, it was dark outside. So I drove right past the sign. And I'd borrowed a ladder from a friend of mine. And I thought, well, I've got to get things done. I wanted to go to Dyersburg, and I want to take it on the way in to work, and I'll just cut through there. And that morning there was a truck sitting there, and I felt kind of funny because I drove around the sign, but I do it a lot, you know. But it was dark, and it had been raining, and they had dug the road up, and I felt foolish. I thought I probably shouldn't be going through here. And I got stuck. And I thought, I should have turned around and probably went back, but I felt kind of foolish. And it is, you know, it's not a whole lot different than what happens to people in their life sometimes. They make an honest mistake. And here I was. I couldn't go any farther forward, so I backed up as far as I could go. And I started slipping backwards. And I started sliding over toward a dozer sitting there, and I thought, now these folks are going to think I'm up here tearing up the road, and boy, I'm in a mess. And I thought, Lord help me, I'm going to miss a day's work, and man, they're going to jump onto me, and they're going to have to call a tow truck out here, and they're going to want me to fix these ruts. And I thought, what a mess, what a silly thing that I've done. And I prayed the Lord to help me to get out of there, and the Lord helped me to get out of that mud, and I didn't miss a day's work. But on the way to work, I said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I felt like the Lord did something for me. You know, the Lord can help you, help us. Sometimes we can make honest mistakes. Thank God, amen, that we have a Savior that loves us and cares for us, can help us through our foolish mistakes. Praise the Lord. And you know, I'm glad for the simplicity that there is in Christ. And I think sometimes we just make the way too complicated. But I want to thank God, amen, that we do serve a God that will deliver us. And every opportunity that I have, I want to tell someone about the goodness of God. And yeah. I was thinking on the way down here, man, we can read over in the book of Genesis how man messed up. Amen, he messed up, didn't he? Amen, God gave him a command. Amen, you'll eat freely of all the trees of the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of. And the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die.
That's right.
And he did just that, didn't he? And his wife partook of it, and he partook of it along with him. And we find that, amen, Adam was driven out of the garden. Praise the Lord. And I thought over in the book of Revelation, if you want to turn over me to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, And the 17th verse, we find an invitation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Amen. That the Spirit of the Lord, amen, will draw you to Him. Amen. He'll draw the sinner in. Amen. The love that we heard about tonight will do it. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. I'm glad there's a way back to God. Praise the Lord. And over in 1 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, I told you wrong. It's 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Verse number 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Praise the Lord. Man was driven out. Amen. But God made a way that man can get back. Amen. And walk with God. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, didn't he? And isn't it wonderful, amen, to be able to walk with God? Amen. To be able to walk with Him. Having to be your friend. Having to be your comforter. Hallelujah. That, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. And I thought, you know, I want to take the opportunity, amen. I want to tell somebody about the goodness of God. I want to point someone to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to take advantage, amen, an opportunity, amen, to tell you, amen, that God can deliver you. And, amen, you don't have to be like that little bird on the windowsill wanting to be free. Amen. There's somebody that will set you free. Amen. Jesus will set us free if we just come to Him. Jesus said in over in Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God, amen, that God is able to deliver. Amen. So we beseech you in Christ's stead. We've got a big job, don't we? And we sometimes we might feel unworthy and think, well, what can I say? But, amen, I want to take opportunity, amen, to tell folks about what God's able to do, and glad for what He's doing in my brother's life. And the Bible says that we're to restore if someone falls, amen, we're to restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering their own self, amen. And some of my favorite verses over in Titus chapter 3, in closing, I believe, Titus chapter 3, amen, I love these verses. These verses are kind of made real to me. It was a brother one time, and his son came home, and he had dyed his hair kind of a funny color, and he was kind of upset about it. And my mind went back to as I was growing up, and I thought, you know, I can't be too hard on folks. And sometimes when we go down to the mall, and my heart goes out for young people, and they're trying to fit in, and sometimes it looks like they dress so goofy, you know, the droopy drawers and the things they do. It seems like they just look so ridiculous, you know. And I thought, when I was growing up, I probably looked ridiculous too. And I look at my own children and I think, thank God they're young, you know, and thank God. And then they're not into that. And then in the back of my mind, I think, don't be too hard, amen, because, amen, your children are not grown yet. Amen. Don't be so judgmental because, amen, you've not been there yet and you don't know what the future holds. Amen. And we need to be kind, compassionate, considerate on other folks because sometimes, amen, the situation can turn right around and we've judged somebody else. Yes, sir. And then it might come home to us and be in the same circumstance. And I've often said before, man, the wife someday, she's going to turn to be the mother-in-law. And isn't it true? Amen. The children don't think their father's raising them up right and letting them do things they want to do. Someday they're going to get their opportunity, and someday they're going to be the father. Sometimes it's going to be turned around the other way. So we have to watch what we say and how we act. And I want to read this verse of Scripture in Titus chapter 3. It says in verse number 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'll ask you again the verse that we started out with. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would you be tonight? Aren't you glad for His mercy? Yeah. Hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord, I might have chosen a different path. Amen. I might have been one of those alcoholics. Amen. I might have been lost. Amen. Without hope. Amen. In this world of sorrow. Amen. Searching for something. But I'm so thankful tonight. Amen. That someone loved me. Someone prayed for me. Amen. Someone cared for me. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I sure miss Brother James Wilson. Amen. Not a finer man that I've ever known. Amen. Treated me as a son. And I tell the church back home, there's not a hard time. On my way to work or something, I look over at the graveyard and he's buried on top of the hill there. And it gives me strength. Amen. To think of such a man of God that gave his whole life, man, to the work of the Lord. I'm glad that he held out faithful unto the end. I told the church back home when the family asked me to preach the funeral, I really wanted to. It was one of the hardest funerals I've ever done. And yet it was one of the easiest. And I thought, well, what am I going to be able to say? Amen. And there was just so many things. I preached about Brother James' faults. And I told the church, amen, that he had a bunch of faults. Said he just cared too much for other people. He'd stay awake at night, amen, worrying about other people. And he wouldn't spend any money on himself. And I got to noticing that his pants wore out on the knees. Amen, because when you go to Brother James' house, he'd be sitting in his chair with his Bible open and he was always praying for folks. Amen. And one other fault that Brother James had, he was so thin and his family kept telling him, you need to quit fasting. You need to quit fasting. And Brother James is always fasting. And one of the faults that he had, he just fasted too much. And so I thought, boy, you know, if we have faults like that, pretty good faults to be able to have in our life when we come to stand and give an account before the Lord. And so I just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here. And I also can remember when we first came down here, being in the house next door. Dad took us down here when we were just little children. And now I've got three sons of my own and a little daughter. The Lord has blessed me and been good to me. And I told the church before that one day I was standing looking out my picture window, and I was feeling kind of discouraged, and I thought, well, I just can't find a wife anywhere. And it just seemed like that was a desire that I had that was never fulfilled. And one day I was looking out my picture window, and I saw a bus came down the road. And in my mind, I saw that bus stop. And I saw some kids get off the bus and come up the driveway. And that's no longer a dream anymore. Amen, because the bus stops at my house, and kids get off the bus and come up the driveway. And so the Lord can give you your heart's desire, can't He? And, man, He's blessed me and been good to me, blessed me with a wonderful family. And I just appreciate what God has done. And again, appreciate what God has done for my brother. And I would to God that you would remember my oldest brother, Jim, that the Lord would touch him and help him. Amen. That he would hold on to God's unchanging hand, because I know he's able to deliver him completely. So, Lord bless all of you. Amen.